bodies and
glorified bodies. Yes, our bodies will be immortal. Yes. And we'll rule and reign with Christ over the kingdom. That's correct. And we'll have kind of like super people bodies, you know, compared to the mortal bodies of people that live on earth. So this is God's plan. And you have to understand there are two people, Israel and the church. So anyway, at the end of the 7 years, Christ is going to touch down on earth. He's that mighty angel that puts his foot on the earth and the sea, and it takes 30 days to reclaim the earth. On day one, he gets 144,000, takes them out of hiding. Then he goes into the wilderness of Judea, goes up on Mount Sinai, and then he makes his way north up the Jordan River Valley in order to go to Jerusalem. As he's going, he gets other Jews out of hiding. Jewish people have been in hiding after the beast comes into the temple with his image and begins to persecute. They're hiding, and he's taken them out of hiding now. What's happening, though? People are fighting the Lord, and he's killing them. And he is like a lion. The Bible said his clothing is going to be with blood all over it. Not his blood this time. When he died the first time, his blood was shed to pay for your sins and mine so we could be saved. But now the blood of the enemies of his people, he's going to shed their blood as he makes his way up to Jerusalem. And then on day three, he's going to go into Jerusalem, and all Israel's going to be saved. So day one, the 144,000 Jews get saved. Day two, the Israelites in hiding get saved. Day three, all the remaining Israelites that are in Israel and in Jerusalem, they're going to see the Messiah, and they're going to repent of rejecting him, and they're going to receive him and really be born again, really be saved for real and forever. And that's on day three. Day four, he's going to do something. People have been watching on TV, something that's been going on. They'll be watching on TV when the beast will go out and finally be able to kill who? Who is the beast going to kill? Yep.
Moses and Elijah,
the two witnesses. Moses and Elijah are coming back. And right in the middle of the 7 years, they're going to begin their ministry, and they're going to continue it, and the beast will not be able to kill them. By the way, God says that no weapon formed against us can stand up when God is protecting us. And he'll protect these guys right until the end of the 70th week. Then he'll allow the beast to kill them. They will be killed, and their bodies will lie in the street for 3.5 days. And people will tune in on TV and be like, finally, we got rid of these devils. They've been preaching. They've been calling fire down from heaven, coming right out of their mouth, fire. And they've been bringing judgment upon us. And all of that now will be over. They'll be like, yeah, we finally won. And by the way, the world is going to come right on out and worship Satan during this time. The world's, it's happening more and more. The world's going to come right. They're going to worship Satan. They're going to worship the man that returns, that becomes what we call the beast, who is coming back, who's going to be cloned, and his soul's coming out of hell. Yep.
Adolf Hitler.
We believe that's Adolf Hitler, the ruler of the seventh beast empire. And it'll be him and a Jewish antichrist, somebody like Noah Yuval Harari, Yuval Noah Harari, somebody like that, that's a wicked man, a globalist, works with Klaus Schwab. I'm not saying he is the Jewish Antichrist, but he certainly fits the bill. And these two men will rule the world, and it will be a horrible time. And so the beast will be able to kill at the end of the 7 years these two men that have been preaching. And then on the fourth day at noon, or 3.5 days, the Lord is in Jerusalem with the 144,000 and all the Jewish people that have followed him, that have come out of hiding now. And what's the Lord going to do on the fourth day? Diane?
He'll raise up Moses and Elijah,
and the world will see it on television. And then they'll ascend into heaven. They'll be, come up here. And they'll come right up, go right up to heaven on day four. On day five, of the 30 days after the 7 years, the Lord does what? He goes where? Day five. Anybody know? Where does he go? He goes on top of Mount Zion with the 144,000 on day five. In Revelation 11, we've already studied this, verse 15, the seventh angel blows his trumpet, but on top of Mount Zion. And that trumpet means that now God is going to release the final 3 weeks of the wrath of God, called the vile judgments or the shallow bowl judgments. And that will happen sometime around day 6 to day 30. All right? And so the Lord is going to come down off Mount Zion on day 6. He's going to go up on the Mount of Olives. And I went there in 2016. And the Mount of Olives are going to cleave in half. And there's going to be a big valley created there. And he's going to hide the nation of Israel, the whole nation that got saved, inside of that valley in the Mount of Olives. It's called Azel. That's the name of the valley. And he's going to hide them there. And then the Lord's going to go back up to heaven to get his white horse and to come back down on what day of the 30 days? He's going to come back down on what day of the 30 days? He's going to go up around the end of day 6 and come back on what day? Diane? Day 30. And that's called the Battle of Armageddon. It's a great battlefield. Napoleon called it the Great Battlefield. I was there, saw the battlefield. And all the UN, the United Nations armies, the Red Chinese, the Russian, the Anglo-American, all the armies of the world will all be gathered there under the beast, under Hitler and his Jewish Antichrist. And what will they be doing? They will be aiming their weapons, their modern weapons, at Christ coming back on the white horse to claim the world. And the Bible says it's going to be a bloody mess. And we'll talk about that next week. But yes, you had something?
You're not going to be able to touch him.
No, he'll laugh. He'll laugh because he's going to take them out with one word, all the armies of the world. And he'll laugh at them thinking that they can defeat him. In Psalm 2, you can read about God laughing. He has the last laugh. So everything happening right now is building up to this showdown that will rock the world, that will happen during the last 7 years before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then 30 days beyond that will be the time when Christ will actually, and that's what we've been studying, those 30 days, when Christ will actually be boots on the ground and taking the world back away from the devil. Because right now the devil, when Adam sinned, the devil took over the world and the kingdom. And the Lord's taken back the kingdom. And he's going to reign from elevated Mount Zion, because it's going to be elevated and his temple will be up there. And the Lord's going to reign for 1,000 years over this world. And we'll reign with him. If you're a child of God, you will reign with him. And so we have a glorious future to look forward to. But here we're at day five. What we've been studying is day five. And notice here in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. So the Lord, when he comes back, he's looked at as primarily what kind of animal? Well, we know what kind of animal. A lion. And he is coming back to rend and to kill his enemies. He came the first time to die and to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But now he's coming back, and forgiveness is over. Forgiveness is over for those that have not received him as their personal Savior. And by the way, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be saved, or you're going to face him as a lion, and you will go through the wrath of God. And you will be cast into a lake of fire. This is real. It's biblical. People don't like us to talk about that. But the Bible says in Romans 11, behold the goodness and severity of God. He's not some toothless grandfather in the sky. He has teeth. And he's a lion. He's coming back as a lion. But what kind of animal is he pictured as in Revelation 14:1? I just read it. On top of Mount Zion, he's pictured as a what? Chris?
A lamb.
A lamb has always been a symbol of Christ as the one who innocently gave his innocent blood to pay for our sins. So we don't have to face him as a lion. So we don't have to face his wrath. Have you accepted him as your lamb of sacrifice? Have you put your trust in him to save you? And if you have, then he to you is a lamb. He's not a lion to you, except to defend you. He's not a lion against you. He's a lion that would go against the lion Satan and go against your enemy. So it's so important that you've trusted Jesus Christ as the lamb, because there's this big showdown between the lion of the tribe of Judah and the roaring lion called Satan. These are both powerful beings, but it's no match. Satan is a created being. He's going down. Now, he may think he can win, but he's crazy. And these people are crazy that are fighting God. And so that's what Revelation is talking about. So now we're getting to the point. We're at day five. We're on top of Mount Zion, and we're getting ready for chapter 15 and 16. And just by way of repetition, what is going to be poured out in chapter 15 and 16? We've already had the trumpet judgments. Now we got a little break here, just a little break in the action. What's going to be poured out? The bowl judgment. These shallow bowls called vials. They're going to be poured out, and they'll be within 3 weeks about all the wrath of God all over the earth. And there's going to be horrible judgments that will take place during this time, between about day 6 and day 30. What is going to be happening in heaven, according to Revelation 11:18, while the Lord is, while the angel is, seven angels are pouring out the bowl judgments. What's going to be happening in heaven? Diane? The judgment seat of Christ, which is not to put people in hell. It's for you and I to evaluate how faithful we were after we received Christ, to do our part to help get others saved and to do our part in the work of the Lord, in the witness of the Lord. And if you're faithful, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. And what will you be rewarded with? Well, it will be land in the kingdom that you will rule over, and people that you will rule over. God will give you a job to do in his kingdom, and that will last for 1,000 years. But after 1,000 years is over, that will go on forever. So what you do right now after you become a Christian will determine your rewards. Now, if you fail to be faithful, you'll still be saved, but you'll be saved as by fire. Your works will be burned up, and you will not have a job in the millennial kingdom. You'll be sitting it out, so to speak. You won't have it and beyond the millennial kingdom. So I want to be able to have rewards to serve God more when I don't have a mortal body, when I have a glorified body, when I don't have pains in my body. I will be able to serve God, and so will you if you do your part. And that will be determined during day 6 to day 30 in heaven, just before the Battle of Armageddon and just before the kingdom is taken over, because the Lord wants you ready to take your part in the kingdom. But now is your time to get ready. Be faithful now to God. Be faithful now to live by the Bible. Be faithful now to serve him, because this judgment seat of Christ is coming for every believer, every one of us. Regardless of what your position is, you will be judged for your faithfulness. Amen? And so that's very important. And so we're on day 5, though. We're on the Mount of Olives right now. The Lord has not yet gone back up to heaven at the end of day 6. He's there. The trumpet has already been blown. And our class today is going to deal with 3 announcements now that the Lord is going to make to the whole world. And by the way, he's not going to have people make the announcements, because we're in heaven. He's not going to have the Jews make it, because they just got saved, but they're protected And they're going to be hidden on earth during the bowl judgment. So he's going to get angels to make this announcement. So let's go now to Revelation 14 and look at these three angels and the three messages that they give. So look at verse 6, and I'll read it. You follow. It says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue," or language, "and people, saying," verse 7, notice this, "with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Now, when it says the hour of his judgment is come, we know it's during the day of the Lord that this announcement is made. The trumpet judgments have already come. They've already felt them over one third of the earth. But remember, two thirds of the earth have not directly felt the trumpet judgment. It's kind of like America. We didn't really see war in World War II on our own soil, did we? We didn't see war on our own soil in World War I. And two thirds of the earth, yes, the day of the Lord has been happening with the trumpet judgments, but it's been happening over one third of the earth. Now it's going to happen worldwide, and it's going to be devastating. And so the Lord is using his angel to make this first announcement just before this final wrath is poured out for 3 weeks. And I want to ask somebody in the class, I just read it, but did you get it? What is going to be proclaimed in verse 6 to every kindred, tongue, or language on the earth? What is going to be proclaimed? Diane? The gospel. It's called what kind of gospel? The everlasting gospel. There's only one gospel, and that gospel is the grace of God. You are saved by grace, through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. You see, man and false religions, if you get into a false church, they're going to say it's Jesus plus. How many of you ever gone fishing? Well, if you go fishing, you put one, let's say you put 1 foot in a boat that says on the boat your name, and the other boat says Jesus Christ. The boat with your name on it says your good works, salvation by your good works. The boat with Jesus Christ on it says salvation by Jesus Christ alone. Now, you got both, 1 foot in one boat and 1 foot in the other boat. Now, the one boat, your name on it, salvation by your good works, it's going to have holes in it, and you're going to see hole after hole. Every time you sin, another hole is put in that. Is Jesus Christ ever going to sin? No. There's no holes in that boat. Is Jesus Christ ever going to fail to die and pay for our sins? No, he already did that. There's no holes in his boat. There's no failure in his boat. But in our boat, you're relying part on yourself. And that's the way a lot of religions are. They say, yeah, believe in Jesus, plus do good works and you'll be saved. No, no, it's Christ and Christ alone. You got to put both feet in a boat with no holes. But if you have 1 foot in Christ's boat, over here, 1 foot in your boat, every time you sin, it's like another hole. And you're fishing that way, standing up. What's going to happen to you, Joe?
You're going to sink.
You're going to sink because of your boat. You're putting your faith in Christ plus yourself. The Bible says you're going to hell. You're under a curse, Galatians 1. Read it. He said, "I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that I preach, let him be" what? Accursed. You see, Christ was under the curse of the law. He kept the law perfectly. He never sinned. You say, if I put all my faith in Christ, what about the law of God? Christ kept the law of God for us. He died under the curse of the law of God in our place. And so when you put your faith in Christ, the law of God is honored and upheld. By whom? By Jesus Christ. And that's why salvation has to be by Christ and nobody else. And if anybody preaches any other gospel to you, I don't care how much you like them. I don't care how much Bible they have. I don't care how much they look good. They're under a curse. And they're putting you under a curse. Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in every command in the Bible. There are more than 10 commands. There are hundreds of commands. And so Christ kept all the law. So I put my trust in him and him alone to save me. And that's the everlasting gospel. It's a gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Now, more and more of it was revealed as time went on. But we have the full revelation of Christ dying and being buried and raised again. And we believe upon him. Earlier saints did not have all of that. They knew he would come from a woman. They knew he came from a virgin later on and so forth. But they believed the good news that God would save us through the Messiah. And they were saved. That's the everlasting gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. Now that gospel is being proclaimed through the whole world by an angel. Because we're in heaven, we can't proclaim it. The Jews are being protected by Christ soon, so they're not out there to proclaim it. It's an angel that's going to go over, and with a loud voice, everybody's going to hear it. By the way, right now we need to make the gospel clear to people. Doesn't hurt to have a loud voice and to get it out there. And so that's the only thing that's going to save you, your faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else will save you. Now, when that gospel goes out, much of the world will have a problem when it comes to benefiting from it. What will that problem be? Much of the world will have a problem in benefiting. They'll be able to hear it. They'll be able to hear the angel and understand it, but their problem that will prevent them from benefiting. Diane?
They took the mark of the beast.
They took the mark of the beast. And the Bible's very clear. Anybody that takes the mark of the beast is not saved by Christ, or they wouldn't have been able to take it. And number two, not only is not saved, but once you take that mark, you will not be able to be saved. God says that for you, that will be the unforgivable sin. You will not be able to be saved if you take that. Now, nobody will be able to take the mark. Save person from taking that mark. He promises that. He won't allow it. But unsaved people that take it, and most of the world will take it, and they'll be deceived, think it's a thing. Let me compare it to the vaccine. You know, everybody thought, hey, we got to get this vaccine. We got this COVID. We got to say it. We got it. And a lot of you took the vaccine, didn't you? Probably most of the world took the vaccine. At least over 50%, I would say. Why? Because they just kept drumming it in. Then later on, we find out all these health problems that came from taking the vaccine. And this is worse than that. It's not just health problems. Now you've got salvation problems. You can't be saved after you. And to get that mark in your hand or forehead, you have to worship this man. You have to come right out and worship a man as being God. And then you'll get that mark. And then you can buy and sell. But if you don't get that mark, you will not be able to buy and sell. And people figure, this is a pretty good deal, man. I can buy and sell. Even if I'm not rich, I'll be able to get all the medical care I need. I'll be able to get all the food I need. You know, I see people with food stamps, man, they got all the good food. You know, people that work and don't have that, they don't have that good of food usually, unless they have a lot of money, you know. And so it will be very beneficial. Take that mark from the government. Just worship this man, put in your time and say, okay, yeah, you're the highest evolved being, you're God. You take that mark. But it's not a good trade-off because it's not even going to last 3.5 years. After the mark is taken, it will not even last 3.5 years. And then the Lord is going to come back right here and it'll be too late to be saved. Diane?
The people during this time that
the people that did not take the mark, yes, there will be a respite, a break here in the wrath of God. In wrath, he's remembering mercy. So there is a break. And the people that did not take the mark, they will have another opportunity to be saved. And that's why the angel is going out to warn those that didn't, it's too late for you, but to give an opportunity for people to be saved. You say, well, what if they get saved? Where are they going to go? They're going to stay on earth. And if they're protected through the rest of the bowl judgments and they don't die, they will go into the kingdom in their bodies, in their mortal bodies, and they will be part of the non-Jewish people, that the nations of the world that got saved, and they'll go in and be in the millennial kingdom. Children and so forth.
What happens if they die during they get saved, they die, will they have a glorified body?
I don't know that. I'm not sure on that, how that is going to work. But I know that if they survive, they will go into the kingdom and they will rule and reign. I'm not prepared to give you an answer on the rest of that. I have to study that one out myself. But at any rate, this is where we are, and this is the first announcement being made. And notice in the announcement, the angel is saying, you need to turn to the God who created everything. And that's in verse 7. God is a God of creation. Why do you think he's telling them, turn to the God of creation? Like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible said that people turn from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for Jesus to come back from heaven. Why do you think part of what the angel is saying is to turn to the God of creation? I'll tell you why I think. Go ahead.
I believe it has something to do with evolution.
Yes, correct. You see, I believe that the beast and the Antichrist are going to preach evolution. We know Satan's been pushing evolution since the 1800s, right? Through Charles Darwin and others. And we know that that is the big lie, evolution, right? So they're going to claim, get this, that we are evolved. We are more highly evolved than you are. But you could be like us and you can evolve too and have a godlike status, because Satan says, ye shall be as gods. And so you have to worship the beast and the Antichrist, especially the beast, and his image, and say that he is the most highly evolved human being on earth. And when you do that, you get his mark, and now you can participate in getting free medical care, getting free dental, getting free food. You think a lot of people will do that? Absolutely, they'll do it. Most people will do it, because people can be bought. They could be so easily bought. Satan knows that. And professing Christians will do it. People that have been good church members that aren't really saved will do it, because they don't have the Holy Spirit and they won't have the help, and they'll do it. So when this angel is giving this message, he's saying, turn not to a God of evolution. That's not the true God. That's an idol. It's a fake God. Turn to the God of creation. And he's the one that sent his son, who died and paid for our sin, was buried. Put your faith in him and you'll be saved. So that is so important. Get saved. After you get saved, get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows you're not ashamed to stand up for Jesus. And get the uniform on. Baptism is like putting the uniform. Baptism is after you receive the gospel of the grace of God, just to show people you believe. Do it right away. We'll give you opportunity today to do it. You can come down the aisle at the end. We have the room all set up. The pool is heated. It's all set up. The robe is provided. But you need to take advantage of that. And so that first announcement in verses 6 and 7. But there's a second announcement. Let's look at verse 8 and see what that is. It says, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Babylon is Babylon. Where was Babylon? Iraq. It's where the Tower of Babel is built. It's where the first one world government was. It was ruled over by Nimrod and his wife. And It is going to be rebuilt and be the capital of Adolf Hitler on his second rule. It will be the capital of the beast and his worldwide empire under 10 heads. He'll rule the whole world from Babylon. Now, what will be the glue that will hold it all together? This false one world religion, which will be the image of the beast. Everybody will have an image of the beast, and they will have to give allegiance to it, and they will be able to buy and sell. Now, there's going to be crony capitalism. What is crony capitalism? It's fascism. That's what Hitler did the first time. When Hitler came, he didn't create total socialism. He was a socialist, but not pure socialism. He had what's called fascism. Does anybody know what fascism does to industry and corporations? It lets you have your industry. It lets you have your money and your corporate. That's what Hitler did. But you have to do whatever the government says to stay in business, or you're going to be shut down. And that means if you have Jews working for you in Hitler's day, you got to turn them in, man. Let Hitler kill them. You got to do whatever he says. So what do you have to do if you're Walmart, if you're Target, if you're whatever? By the way, Target, I won't even go into Target except maybe to go to the bathroom. I will not buy anything in Target. The only thing I'll do is go to the bathroom in Target and do that. I won't do it. Why? Because Target is pushing the LGBTQ plus agenda. Target is just like that Bud Light, Dylan Mulvaney. You shouldn't drink beer anyway, but don't drink Bud Light for sure. And what I'm saying, that's why their business has gone down tremendously, because people won't buy Bud Light now. And so what I'm saying to you is, during this time, the corporations will